Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is gross. Yuck.
And I've just got to hope there's not another one.
You better not miss, Red.
Bye, Jack.
Did you just leave?
Yeah. Sploosh, sploosh, motherfuckers.
Thanks, buddy.
Wow, that was amazing.
Actually, Doran, you're short enough. Mary, crouch.
Oh, thanks.
Let that damn snail wash into the old bay and let's get out of here.
Turbo was a great movie.
Enough with the puns, Doran.
We stan a cowardly wizard.
Here's what I do, Mary.
It's okay. I've got this.
Fucking natural one.
Hey, there we go.
I'm not shaming this dice. It's too beautiful. Ooh,
ooh, well.
Well, what you do is just tell the audience, I'm playing with a plain white
that
one.
That rookie die over there.
It's just a normal plastic dice.
For shame.
Welcome back to Dice Shame. This is Season 2, Episode 5, Draw the Crabs.
MVP this week is Anders Bergstoll, who joined our Facebook group and left a really wonderful introductory message. Anders wrote, "A hearty hello from the chilly mountain ranges and green fjords of Norway to you. As a dedicated listener throughout the past 1.5 years, Dice Shame has given me countless laughs, tears, and joy on both sunny and gray days, and I wanted to personally thank you all for dedicating your valuable time into making something so awesome and for many listeners so meaningful. Never stop." Thanks, Anders. We won't.
Looking for more spooky content this Halloween season? For the past few weeks, we've been streaming every Wednesday at 8 o'clock on the Invictus stream with our friends Emily Kellogg and William A. Wellman from Parkdale Haunt and Hello from the Hallowoods, respectively. Join us for Call of Cthulhu, The Haunting of Blackreef, as we dive into the horrors and real-life mystery surrounding the mysterious deaths of four children in the town of Blackreef. You can catch us every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on the Invictus Stream YouTube channel. It should be fun.
All right, let's get down to business.
Let's do it. So Dungeons & Dragons is more prevalent than ever.
It is.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Like everybody and their brother.
It's very prevalent, and yet I still am the biggest nerd at work.
Are you?
Yeah. And I work in a recording studio full of audio nerds.
Wow.
And I'm still the one who's like, sorry guys, I can't stay for a glass of scotch. I gotta go record Dungeons & Dragons podcast where I'm a druid.
No one invited you.
I guess the most traditional depiction of a nerd, though.
That's
because
true.
You can be a nerd about anything.
Yeah.
As we talked about before.
This is true.
I mean, I would see, like, to me, nerd is synonymous with, like, math Like, to me, that's the quintessential nerd. I feel like Dungeons & Dragons player is kind of erroneously connected to nerddom.
So rebellious truthfully. Now.
Which is really just you saying you're bad at math?
Yeah, I am. We all know I have a big calculator.
I would say someone who's really good at like math or physics or something, I would call them like a geek. And then a nerd to me is someone who is like more really knowledgeable about something kind of, I guess, like more esoteric.
It's too complimentary for us. Isn't a geek like a sideshow person who bites the heads off chickens?
Yeah, it is.
Etymology is weird in general.
Words have many meanings. Let's go down that trail, Rob.
Is that what they're talking about? The geek squad? They just come to your house and bite the head off chickens? Like, hey, we're here to fix your computer.
It's really gruesome.
Hey, is your internet down?
You're like, four?
They show up, they're like, hey, is that a budgie over there? They're like, Mike, don't. Mike, I'm just going to do Mike, it.
Covered in blood. It's our fourth stop today.
It'll run around like that for a while.
Good question, though. Do geeks need to be chickens, or can they be any fowl when they bite the heads
it's
off?
It's very foul, no matter what they're doing.
Oh, it can be lots of different
Does
things.
Does it even have to be a fowl biting the heads off of a squirrel?
Who bites the head off of a squirrel other than Gollum?
Apparently geeks do.
He'd do it. He's a fucking freak.
Real life Gollum.
Hey, speaking of Gollum, has anybody watched The Rings of Power yet?
Oh, no. Yeah.
I heard it's good. Is it delivering everything you want from a story in that universe?
It's delivering everything I want from a story in that universe, yeah. I don't think it's good for everybody. Like,
it's definitely good for me.
Shit.
I want to try, but my big concern is that I'm one of those people who like watches the breakdowns of all the lore in like the Silmarillion, and it's like, ooh, yes, tell me more about the history of Mithril.
Yeah, but to me, it's just more of the same, right? Like, I would say so far, it's more Lord of the Ringsy than Lord of the Rings was.
Yeah, so far,
in terms of it, kind of not giving a fuck with like the pacing and stuff.
You know
how, like, Lord of the Rings starts off with like, in the beginning there was this age and da da da. It does do that a little bit, but it's also really boring already.
Yes, I heard it's boring.
There's something to be said for when a billionaire buys the rights to a movie or something. You know, it's not like Tim Burton. I almost said Tim Horton.
it's not like Tim Hortons buys the Lord of the Rings and you have to get like a Timbit ballad.
Oh my God,
like, you know.
Would you like Golem Timbits? The new chicken sandwich, raw and wriggling.
I don't know, that got me.
It's not like Tim Burton says, I'm going to make this movie. And then so it's like, it's got all of his, like, I'm sure, I guess the point I'm trying to make is I'm sure Jeff Bezos didn't buy Lord of the Rings and go, I'm going to make it just how I want it. He probably was like, yeah, add it to
No,
the
he's
pine.
Already in it as Gollum.
He didn't get the Silmarillion. He only has certain properties. So that's why
it's
so weird and like the ages are smushed.
Ah, interesting.
No, but I hear what Alex is saying. And you're right, because it's not like he's putting it through a funnel of like, oh, this is going to have Johnny Depp in it.
Like, or Sam Raimi, for example.
Or Sam Raimi. Yeah, there are
Sam
very
Raimi
like,
when he did Spider-Man. It was like,
yeah,
he got it and he did it.
But there's a difference between Sam Raimi, who was the director of that movie, and Jeff Bezos, who owns the company that owns the company that owns the company that's putting that movie on
and
TV.
That's what I'm getting at.
Jeffrey Bezos is not directing the show.
Well, but see, here's the problem. I think Alex accidentally stumbled into a perfect example with Tim Burton, because Tim Burton didn't direct The Nightmare Before Christmas, and yet it reeks of his style because he produced it.
My point is this, though. It comes to a head at this with this comment, because you can then probably has some like potential fanatic, like Lord of the Rings, like real specialists that know the books inside out that have made this. You know what I mean? Versus, I could be entirely wrong, but versus some person that's just got the rights and has made a movie
it
based on what
they like. It smells
like
Lord of the Rings to me.
That's what I mean, right?
Cool. That's all I need.
Book pages and elven farts.
Here's the thing. You could bring in the most knowledgeable person ever and it's still going to be like kind of boring.
Oh, yeah.
And that's coming from someone who fucking loves Lord of the Rings. It's going to be kind of boring. There's a lot of shit in there.
So I wonder if they brought in like an expert when they were making the
an expert.
When they were filming this. An expert.
Just a guy with an axe. Do it.
No, don't pull that on the page. And if you do, I'll show you what will happen. No, but it's interesting because we are sort of in a high fantasy renaissance right now. You know what I mean?
High
there's the Lord of the Rings. There's the D&D movie. There's also the Willow series coming to Disney Plus, which
I saw that.
Great.
I was very surprised by because I liked Willow.
Me
and then
too.
I don't
sure.
know 2 days ago they just released the trailer and it looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks
like
really
it looks
cool.
Like just a it looks like a homebrew D&D campaign. It's got like trolls and goblins.
Right, yeah.
I feel like I'm on the backside of this. I got to go and like watch Witcher first maybe to catch up on where the I never finished Game of Thrones. I feel like I've missed the sort of ramp up into the latest fantasy like movement.
Game of Thrones is irrelevant of its setting. Game of Thrones is a political it could be House of Cards. Honestly, the fantasy has such a small role in it. It's like saying Walking Dead is a horror show. Like you're not missing anything.
And those are but I guess those are the fantasy elements that you wouldn't be able to transport. Like they did that. They took what was that movie with Will Smith, I think it was, where they took the fantasy and they put it in today's world.
Independence Day. Hitch?
No, Bright, I think it was right. But where you know, it's set in today's setting, but it's a fantasy because it's got all the fantasy creatures.
I don't think anyone will hold that up as a like a shining example of it.
No, I never said there was any.
Because it's not very good.
But you could take The Odyssey and make Oh Brother, Where Art Thou,
right,
which are both very fantastical movies telling the same story, the same kind of fantasy set in a different version of a
fundamental setting. Players in The Odyssey are human and they're passing through these fantastical obstacles and these fantastical lands, whereas the very nature of Tolkien is you're setting a foot in a world that is sort of foreign. And the characters you connect with aren't even you. They're hobbits. They're something else. You know what I mean?
New Zealand's not that foreign, Harlan. You can go there.
All right.
So Aragorn's a human. He's just a Numenorean.
He's like 80 years old. He is a superhuman. And all I mean, it's a low fantasy setting. It's by definition a low fantasy setting.
They normalized it so that bankers would be watching Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
And then they might go, oh, what else is in this genre?
Yeah, it's a really nice
same people who would never
bridge.
Have thought to watch The Lord of the Rings, you know. There's tits in it.
Yeah. Did you feel protective of your chosen media type when all of these usurpers, these like
it's a good name for usurpers,
kind of came up on your favorite territory of media?
I'm a much more guarded person at work. I was just happy to ask them questions about it and see what they were getting out of it. I
think when it's a decision, gates open, come on in type stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to say that I'm an idiot and I said that Aragorn's a Numenorean. He's not. He's a Dunedain. I'm so glad.
Oh my
god!
That.
I can't believe you
I just I said it
that,
and afterwards
Alex.
I was like, oh my god, I'm too worked up. I'm getting my facts wrong.
And that's what gets Dice Shame canceled.
I was gonna say something. Yeah. I didn't want to like start an argument.
My nerd cred.
My nerd cred. As it floats out the window.
No, I gotta go give a guy a swirly now. Excuse me. I gotta go slick my hair back. My favorite thing to do when I watch the Lord of the Rings movies is that moment when Elrond is going, Isildur, and yelling at him to like throw the ring in. If you scream, you dickweed, right afterwards, it fits really well.
Yeah.
So,
eh?
Isildur, nice. You dickweed.
My favorite is to nudge the person sitting next to me and say, hey, did you know Aragorn broke his toe there? On my helmet. Anyway, Stunk. High Fantasy Renaissance, the D&D movie, Willow, I'm here for it, and I feel like it's happening. I feel like if this is successful, and honestly, the other reason I'm excited to hitch my wagon to Rings of Power is they signed up for 5 seasons. So this isn't like you get invested and end of season one, it gets canceled because they're not making enough money. No, they like put the bank behind this. They're like, we are at least going to tell a 5-season arc. And to me, that's like, okay, cool. Then they're not worried about trying to rush stuff before the first episode.
And isn't that just amazing? We've covered that off in our own medium right here. You know, like we are signed up for a 20-year contract.
20-year commitment. So, that's right. In blood.
Oh my God.
So, you know, that's what the listeners get to expect.
The Patreons are just as excited to learn as we are that they can't get out now. The blood pact has been signed. And
anyway, shall we play some D&D?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me think about
Alex
it.
Alex is on board.
It's too nerdy.
Okay, so just so that we all know what's going on, you are being surrounded by terrible lobster monsters, and both Doran and Mari are being held in constricting, smashing claws. A little help here, please? Anyone?
We're trying.
Doran, it's your turn.
I'd help you in a pinch, but I'm feeling a little clamped.
This is not a time for puns.
I'm sorry. It was right there, and I normally don't have such luck.
Sorry, he's being so shellfish.
Oh, you win.
Just shoots you the dirtiest look.
Doran, it's your turn. You are grappled. What do you do?
Oh, it's my turn? Sorry. Oh,
yeah.
You are Doran.
So you're playing
correct?
Doran Iron Fist.
Okay, let me introduce you to this.
Yes.
You are the dwarf fighter.
Smash that axe.
I could probably still attack. I just can't move.
That's right. You can attack.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to attack.
Do it.
So I'm just going to attack this monstered. That's right. I said monstered. With a 25.
Yeah, you hit.
Doing 11 points of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Thorn brings his axe up and smashes it down to the head of this crab monster. In second time, with a 12 to hit?
You do not hit. Carapace rebuffs Orc Splitter and she growls in frustration.
Thorn growls back in frustration. That's it for me.
Okay. Top of the round.
Hey.
Jack Page. You have cowered successfully through your first round of combat.
Yeah, having watched poor Kieran get destroyed one more time.
Yeah, your dog is dead.
He's now got a really good look at this lobstrosity in front of him, the critter who's standing up there, tentacles and pinchers and all that.
Nice.
Is there anything I can discern about them having this real too up close and personal look to see if I can place them?
They hate butter. Melted butter.
You've never seen these creatures before, but you can definitely try to make some deductions about their abilities. Make an...
I'd love to.
History check?
Sure thing. I've read lots of books about the weird shit in the sewers here. How do we like 26?
26 is great.
Yeah.
First of all, they probably don't speak at all based on their mouths of tentacles you watch as they are writhing all over Mari's face.
This is gross. Yuck.
Secondly, based on the way that they closed in on your party, you figure that they can actually perceive something about you apart from your physical existence in the world.
Mm.
It almost reminds you of the way that you were honed in on by that tomb tapper. Do you remember back in the Netherese spire?
I do, yeah.
It's very disconcerting.
Okay.
Additionally, they're clearly not hindered by the water as they are swimming and walking equally easily.
Mm-hmm. Do I have a sense of what I heard them be called or referred to anything in these textbooks? But
nope.
All right.
You've never seen them in a textbook. You're just making smart deductions based on your observations.
Well, based on that, Jack disappears into a burst of blue mist.
Bye, guys.
He just leaves.
Bye, guys. And he reappears 30 feet away behind the one that's sort of threatening him in the water, which is gross and awful. As he appears, he's got Dazan's wand out, and he points it and casts Firebolt. And so I'm going to try and Firebolt this guy from behind.
The one that just decapitated your dog?
Yeah.
Avenge me, says Scrappy-Doo.
Does a 20 hit?
It does.
15 fire damage.
Excellent.
And Jack has on a ring of swimming and is remarkably adept in this ugly, soupy water to move 40 feet away into the darkness, putting them out of the range of my dark vision, but hopefully out of the range of them for a minute.
You do a gross fucking back crawl through this sludge.
Yeah.
Like so graceful.
It's shallow enough to walk in, but you're choosing to swim because that's faster.
Yep. And I'm just gotta hope there's not another one.
Ew.
That's my plan.
Great. I love that. So you you're gross, and you don't see them anymore. That's the worst part, is that you hear the battle still happening.
Yeah.
But you don't see it anymore. Red, it's your turn. You watch as Jack, again, fucking bamfs away.
Bye, Jack!
Go again!
Mari, no!
Red turns to the one that has Mari in its grasp, and he fires an arrow at it. It needs to give me a charisma saving throw.
Okay. Not the most charismatic creatures.
I'm counting on it.
May alarm you to know. 10.
Fail.
All right.
The creature disappears completely.
What?
It is banished for one round.
Whoa.
Nice.
Just whoomp. in a flash, it disappears, and Mari falls to her feet on the side of the thing.
Wow.
Get up, Mari. This thing isn't over.
That was a neat trick.
Ugh.
At the end of its next turn, it'll come back.
Okay. Good to know.
Get up, Mari. And Red helps you up.
For the first time, she's just really mad.
Use that anger, Mari. Look at me. Use that anger.
You know what? I really do not need this right now.
Use that anger. Help us here, Mari. We need you.
And I'm going to fire at the other one that she cast Guiding Bolt on. So that gives me advantage?
Yes.
That would be a 3 and a 23 to hit.
You do.
Kick his ass.
Here's what I do, Mari.
And that's the one that's holding Doran, I believe, right?
You better not miss, Red.
I don't miss, Red says as he whispers to the arrow and fires it at this thing for 29 damage.
Holy shit.
Holy.
The creature takes the hit right in its chest, but somehow it still holds on to Doran, one of its legs twitching wildly. You seem to have hit some kind of nerve bundle or something.
Ow! He's pinching a little harder now.
Very cool.
We got this, Mari. And he puts a hand on your back. We got this.
Mari, it's your turn. You see this creature just disappear and drop you, and then Red fires again, and what do you do?
She turns around and she looks to where Jack was, and she just is mad. She thinks he just left and is sore and mad, and she takes the dagger and she walks up to the one that's holding Doran and goes to like just find any crack in the carapace and jam that thing in.
Uh-huh.
Roll to hit.
It's okay. I've got this. You don't have to. Don't worry about me.
18.
You do hit.
9. She's just holding it in and hoping that it lets go of Doran.
Amazing.
What are you going to expect this thing to continue to do damage after you just leave it in there?
The point of the dagger finds its way in between two chitinous plates, and it just stabs in there. And then a couple of rivulets of this goo begins to flow out. And then, like everything else you touch with the dagger, it begins to sprout growth. And you see one of the plates of the creature's armor begin to shift as underneath, inside its body, a vine is beginning to grow.
She's just holding it and watching.
The creature does not have a high enough intelligence check to understand what is going on, so it's not going to try to, like, claw it out of the way. Instead, on its turn, it's just going to try to cut you in half.
That's
oh, no.
I should have expected that.
So, 10 to hit you. So the misses.
Yeah, you miss.
Misses.
And the other pincer is actually occupied with Doran.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I'm in there.
The creature then, Doran, swings its pincer towards you and tries to hold you in a two-handed grip.
Oh, I don't like where this is going.
Man, that's a 14 to hit.
That misses.
And then make a constitution saving throw against poison.
Constitution saving throw.
You feel these weird tentacles try to wrap around the back of your head.
And actually, I am what to poison? What's the poison is
resistant.
Resistive.
So roll 2d20s for your save and take the higher.
That's going to be 17 to save.
Yep. You are totally fine.
Excellent.
So that's the first creature.
Ow.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Jack, you may be pleased to know that one of these peels off from the group and begins to scuttle towards you down the hallway.
I mean, pleased is a really funny way to describe that, but it's at least scuttling. Oh, no, that's way too close.
It gets right up on you as you are swimming through the sludge.
It likes swim, too.
It loves to swim, and it loves to eat people. But unfortunately, it's not close enough to you to be able to eat you yet.
Mm.
The remaining creatures begin to swarm around you, Red, Mari, and Doran.
Bring it on, turkeys!
Yeah, come on, let's fight!
Turkeys of the sea, I mean.
Mari, one of them takes 2 swipes at you with their pincers. 12 to hit?
Nope.
And a 17 to hit.
Damn it.
You take 13 bludgeoning damage and you are grappled again.
God damn it.
Mari, this creature grabs at you with a claw and then grapples it. And then the other creature comes back from the plane of existence in time to land on its companion's back, and it rolls off into the sludge beside just as the other creature comes around approaching Red.
Snappy, snappy.
Red, it tries to attack you with its two...
Try it, you bastard!
Can you tell the pincer movement they're doing here?
16 to hit.
It misses! Try again, you loser!
Natural one.
Hey!
Ha-ha! Fuck you! Red says and gives it a furry middle finger.
Yeesh. All right. Doran, what do? You are being cuddled by this creature.
You'd better let me go.
Hey, Doran! These fuckers want a taste of axe. Give it to them.
It's gonna get it.
Axe gonna give it to you.
I'm gonna re-roll this using my last lucky. Okay, better. That's gonna be 18 to hit.
Yeah, you hit.
And 12 points of damage.
Whoa, Doran. Nice. You smash through this creature's carapace with your axe, and as you do, vines spring out from everywhere.
Whoa.
And it just drops you into the sludge and dies.
Eat some of that.
Wow.
And Doran pops up from the sludge.
Wow, that was amazing.
And it immediately scrambles back up onto the ledge.
Swamp thing.
To attack the creature that is holding Mari.
Yep.
19 to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's doing, 18 points of damage.
Nicely done.
As Doran slams his axe into the legs of this thing, cutting off a few as they squiggle and squirm off into the water.
Doran, what does it look like when you kill this creature?
Oh.
Double kill.
Two legs go off.
Whoa.
And then I realized that I didn't just cut the legs off. I took a big chunk out of the side, including its vital organs. And it
needs
just
those to live.
Who needs those?
Stops moving and drops Mari.
There you go. Thank you for your help. And that's for you. Now.
Such a gentleman.
Let's kill those other ones.
Jack, you are ears deep in this sludge and you hear it moving through the water towards you as you swim away. It gets right up on you. What happens next?
Well, to see what kind of options I have open, Jack just presses out with his mind to try and push this thing away from him. Just try to telekinetically shove it back. It can be a strength save as a bonus action for me.
Fucking natural one.
Hey, there we go.
I'm not shaming this dice. It's too beautiful.
Well,
what you do is just tell the audience, I'm playing with a plain white
that
one.
That rookie die over there.
It's just a normal plastic dice.
For shame. Move that critter 5 feet away from me, please.
Get that thing out of here.
Oh. Get that thing out of here.
Get this shit away from me.
Get out of here.
Get that thing back where it came from, also help me.
I mean, I think the move now is to
swim farther away.
Pull out the Spellguard sphere.
Start a new life.
Pull out the Spellguard sphere and just try and suck the energy out of this thing. I'm going to toll the dead. Can it make me a wisdom saving throw, please?
Just like sucking the meat out of a lobster's legs.
Ew, yeah. True, though. Natural 20.
Oh!
Dang it. That's like one of those lobsters, like you just can't get the meat out.
Well, then I'm going to swim 40 feet away.
You're
back up
swimming
the
farther away?
40 more feet away, please.
Bye, guys.
Bravely ran away. Brave.
There was
brave.
A big dolorous hum. You can tell Jack's alive.
Don't worry, guys. I'm still here. Totally still here.
I'm just being pragmatic about this all. Till Red can scoop in and save me, please.
I made the map bigger so that Jack can retreat even farther away.
We love to see it.
You're now in the white space on besides
we
the map.
We stand a cowardly wizard.
Red, what do you do?
Well, I better save Jack. I'll make my friend Rob happy.
There's three creatures left. Two beside you, Red, and one chasing Jack down the tunnel.
Scuttling.
Scuttling.
Scuttles.
Chippity, 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 chippity.
The squishing of the water, too.
So I'm going to move back, taking the attack of opportunity.
Excellent.
From this creature.
Yeah, the creature swipes at you with its claws. You better hope it doesn't hit, because it'll pinch you. Ooh, 15.
Miss.
All right.
Hey.
So Red disengages, and it swipes, and it misses. Then I'm going to cast, as a bonus action, Hunter's Mark on the one between myself and Jack. Then I'm going to move back to the far side of the water to get a good distance.
Roll to hit.
Hey, Quarry, it's your boy, Red. 17 to hit.
You hit.
25 damage.
Hey, nice. Done.
Nice.
And I will attack again. Ooh, that one probably doesn't hit with a 15.
It does not.
Damn. Second arrow goes wide.
splooshes into the gross sewer water.
I want that back.
I'll get it.
Mari, it's your turn. There's one dude right up on you and another one 5 feet behind.
The one that's coming up towards me, she's so over it. And she casts polymorph on it.
Whoa, nice. What?
What a cool spell.
Uh-huh. Mm.
16 wisdom saving throw.
Okie doke. Oh. I can't wait to find out how this works. 15.
Ah,
hey. Ah,
nice. Thank goodness.
She locks eyes on it.
It looks at you. You look at it.
And this shimmering golden sheet just erupts, and she throws it up in the air, and it lands on the thing near her, and it turns into a tiny little sad looking, like just a little snail. Just a little snail.
I thought you were going to say a baby seal.
I don't know why.
And then we club it.
And then I was going to smash it.
It's depressing. The everything's taken a real rough turn in this game.
You turn the creature into a snail, yes. And it floats on the surface of the sludge.
The target assumes the hit points of its new form.
Well done, Mari!
The snail is so small that it begins to be carried downstream with the current.
It just can't handle it. It's just a stupid little snail. Sorry, our snails, but sorry, it's just a stupid snail.
Dumb snails. Go back to your subreddit.
You're just a stupid little.
To all the snails who listen to the show, I'm sorry.
We're sorry.
We love Gastropoda. We're just, you know, this one specifically.
Turbo was a great movie.
I personally love a snail, but she's not feeling it. And she's just watching it drift away and then just sort of shifts out of the way of the thing that's coming towards her. She's learned her lesson and she's sort of shifted over to the other side of Doran.
Impressive.
I love Escargot.
Yeah.
Physically away?
Yeah.
Putting a Doran between her and
physically.
Cool. This other creature crawls towards you, Doran, and snap, snap, tries to catch you up in its terrible claws. Ooh, it does a good job this time. 18 and 19 to hit you.
18 misses?
Mm-hmm.
And the 19, I have a 19, so the 19 goes to...
The 19 hits you.
Okay. However, on the one that misses, I'm going to use my riposte.
Ooh, okay.
When a creature misses, I basically attack it. And I'm going to add a D8 to the damage if I do hit. Let's hope so. Okay, so that's a 15.
Can I? I have Cosmic Omen.
What?
What is this?
Mari steps forward. I want to use Cosmic Omen and I want to use Wheel.
Oh, qu'est-ce que c'est?
I get to roll a D6 and I get to add that number to Jack's total.
Oh.
Oh.
Doran's total.
Thorin's total. Oh. Whichever one you
are.
Hey.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm mad at Jack. He left.
Do you touch him on the back and guide him? Or what does it look like when you use this omen?
I gently sort of just put a hand on his shoulder and just this sort of glittering shawl just drapes across his shoulders.
That's 15. Awesome.
I don't know what we need to
hit. What's your D6? Roll your D6.
I rolled a 3.
Okay, so that's 18.
18 does hit.
Nice.
Oh,
nice move. Because I think a 15 would have missed.
Just the idea of these like glittering stars guiding the axe home.
Good call.
Yes.
That means 16 points of damage.
Nice. Hey. That nice.
And you have a kicky glittery shawl now.
That's
right. It's just resting across you.
Yeah. It looks great on you, Doran.
Stunning.
Do you like the outfit?
Hey, I love this. It's I feel all magical now.
You look very fancy for a gore-covered dwarf.
You look great, Doran.
Hey, thank you.
Then the creature grabs you with a 19 to hit.
Yep, that one hits.
It just like bodies him out of nowhere. Oh, thanks.
Oh, wow. No. Doran, no!
10 pinching damage, and you are now grappled again, despite your star cloak.
I really don't like being pinched like this. It's uncomfortable.
Jack, this creature continues to swim at you out of the darkness, menacing you with its claws. It tries to attack, but it can't quite get to you. Doran, you're being grappled by this creature.
Doran's in the claws of this creature and decides he's just going to attack. Of course, with an 18 to hit.
Yes.
Doing 13 points of damage.
Ooh, nice. Fancy.
And Doran's like whacking the axe into the head of this this beast, only to attack again. And that one misses.
All right.
If only we're lucky.
You have lucky.
I don't have any lucky left.
Oh, no.
Well,
Jack, it's your turn. This monster is pursuing you in the dark, stinky water.
Jack's standing prepared as the monster's swimming up. He's ready for it. He's sort of, for the moment, let his feet rest in the sludge of the bottom, and he's got Dazan's wand in both hands. And with a swing of it, a firebolt launches from it right towards this thing, hopefully dead in the eyes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to roll with inspiration. Use my inspiration.
Hey, nice.
Be inspired.
Use it or lose it.
How do we like a 20?
20 hits.
Perfect. 8 fire damage as I square this thing right in the eyes.
Ah, nice.
And I think with that same momentum, I'm going to use the bonus action to try and push it away from me if it could make me a strength saving throw.
Ooh, 21.
Well, that don't work. So instead, I will swim around it to get to the other side of it, staying within its reach.
Why did Jack cross the stream? To get to the other side.
To get to the other side of the terrible creature.
Because it smells like shit. It
smells bad here. Red, it's your turn.
Doran, get down! Mary! Actually, Doran, you're short enough. Mary, crouch!
He's in the claws of a giant thing.
Oh, shit!
In the claws of the giant thing. In the sewer.
I'm going to fire at this thing with my bow.
Yeah, do it.
Mari ducks down because she can see that there's just more shit about to fly, and she's just like too tall for this.
24 to hit.
Yes.
24 damage.
Red, what does it look like when you kill this thing?
Red pulls back on his arrow and whispers something into it. For my buddy, Doran.
And the arrow sings clean across the sewer and sinks right into the side of this thing as it and snaps at the air and drops him. And with a breath, Red turns his arrow to the creature, which is now 100 feet away. Mm-hmm. But with Hunter's Mark still active, he fires at it. The one that is pursuing Jack. Ooh, and that is a 22 to hit.
Hey!
Nice.
You hit.
Thanks, buddy!
24 damage.
Ooh, Red, from way down the tunnel, you feel your Hunter's Mark sizzle out and deactivate as this creature slumps over in the sewage water and falls onto the wizard, Jack Page.
That's market price.
Mari just looks over and just shakes her head and is just like, I think the hardest part is the puns. Mm.
It's difficult, yeah. You get into the swing of things.
Back into the bisque with them, that's for sure.
I make a little orb of water over Doran's head and it just flops onto him like a water balloon.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the size of a cue ball.
Nice.
He takes the opportunity to wash the blood and the dirt off his face, but he's like,
oh, thank you. That dirty water was disgusting. I can't stand having such dirty filth on my face.
Yeah. Jack swims back into sight of everyone's dark vision and climbs out of the water back onto the...
Hey, Jack, let me give you a hand.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome back.
Is everybody in one piece?
Yes. How did you fare down there?
Made it out without being touched, so...
Did you just leave?
Oh.
Did you just run away in this?
No, I drew away
one
of the pincers so you couldn't get attacked from behind.
Sure.
It's a tactic.
He was trying to.
He does the fight.
Maybe.
He does the flight and fight.
It was strategic running away.
Well, I'm glad you're safe.
Well, thank you. How did you make out?
I don't think she is glad, Jack. I think she's angry that you ran away.
And she just glares at him.
Doran kind of makes that face at Red like the, ooh.
Oh, these two are prickly pears.
Yeah.
Look, everyone's just a little high strung right now because we almost died. I don't think Jack meant to run away, probably. But look, let's just keep going. Remy is looking for us, and I'm sure if he's up there, he needs some help.
Fine.
Yeah, let's not get boiled over this.
Enough with the puns, Doran. You're making me crabby.
Everyone gets one more, and that's it.
Let that damn snail wash into the old bay, and let's get out of here.
Ah.
Okay, then.
And as the four of you trek down the tunnel towards the tiny illustrations of the tadpoles marked in chalk on the walls, a little snail floats on to who knows what adventures.
Thank you once again to our wonderful Patreon supporters, Alexander, Ruku, Lost with Two Faces, Mathilda Rushing, Lida, Chelsea Chong, KR, Sky, Creature, Regan, Michelle Kong, Heather Nichols,
Alexander Reed, Melanie Shen, Artistic Witch, Brian Blas, Lars, Gray, Bryn, Daniel, Tara, Doug, Mari Kaniski, Merlin, Christopher Ryan Evans, Mitchell Cadwell, Colin Burkhart, and Michael and Brianna Weber. Thank you so much! Whew.
Things are getting heated, boiling over between these two. We need to dump it out and really sift through all the, you know, crawfish boil stuff.
It's
lobster shells of emotion.
This will certainly turn into a lobster's tail.
This is, we're really, really pushing it now.
How do we shuck this gooey duck? You know what they say?
Yeah.
Little red skin potatoes. That's all I just, that's it.
Feeling a little clammy over here.
I'm hungry.
All right.
Excellent.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.